Coming up on Friday, the opening ceremonies for the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. A lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation, a lot of anxiety as well over whether these Olympics will go smoothly or how unsmoothly they will go. Joining us right now is Dr. Deb Stroman of the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, sports commentator, and also excited and anxious about the Olympics coming up in less than a week. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, it's really an interesting time for most Americans. We know that we tend to do very well in the Olympics, although we're not supposed to focus on the rings. But with all the controversy with this Rio 2016 Games, it certainly opened a lot of people's eyes as to what is Olympic competition about and whether or not we can really have fairness.
There is a lot of controversy heading into the 2014 games in Sochi, what with the state of the facilities and the Olympic Village and everything. And obviously there's been continued controversy beyond that about doping and whether, you know, to what extent the games themselves were rigged. Does this, and that seemed to be more controversial, the Sochi Olympics, than previous games, is this a step up from there in terms of the level of controversy, or are we seeing about the same as we saw in 2014?
I think it's about the same, and I would hate to rank them.
Yeah.
I think each Olympic Games has its own potential to be a great showcase for sport. But on the other side, there is always this underlying political, economic turmoil. And what we're talking about for Rio, and I'm really excited about Brazil. I love the country of Brazil and all that they're doing in terms of being an economic power. But right now, it's very, very disconcerting. Everything from decreased sewage lines. We've got the rowers and sailors. They'll be competing in water with drug-resistant bacteria. The government ran out of money to pay for public security and health care. And, of course, money is flowing for some Brazilians who are very powerful and connected, these families. I guess you could call them the barons of Rio and of the country. So it's a lot of mixed things that are going on. But, unfortunately, many people will watch these games with that question mark or that cloud over their heads, thinking about, is this real? Should they have tried in a way to move the games? So it's really interesting time.
And, I mean, it really shines a spotlight on Brazil, not just in a positive way, but in a negative way. I mean, I was thinking about this earlier today, all of the stories that have been coming out about the athletes and especially the rowers and the swimmers and the water in Brazil off of those beaches and what they're going to be competing in and how athletes are sort of having second thoughts about competing. And all of that is after the Brazilian authorities have at least done something of a job of cleaning that up. You think about all of the millions and millions of tourists and all of the millions of residents of Rio who have gone there for years and who live there, who have been swimming in those beaches, and what they have put themselves through, maybe without even knowing it.
And that's the water side.
Yeah.
I can also point to the land side in the sense that over 20,000 people who have lived in what's called the favelas. Those are those, I guess you could say, rundown areas, very low income. They've been displaced. They've been evicted out mm-hmm. to other areas, low income housing. They've been transferred to projects over 25 miles away. And then more recently, we think we are very, very, I guess you could say, upset to hear about the Australian team mm-hmm. that had moved into one of the athletes' villages. They have over 31 of them. They moved into their village, and there was a fire evacuation. I think we're all used to that here in America, where you go stand outside your building or your house, and in goes the fire company or police. Well, the athletes are standing outside, and all of a sudden, they go back in, and they found that their Zika-protected shirts, team shirts, were missing, and a laptop. So now we're talking about the sense that the theft could be high, and it even could be from those who are supposed to be there to protect and serve you.
And that was after the Australian delegation had spent some time in other hotels because the facilities at the Olympic Village weren't even ready for them when they got there, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we have concerns on water, on land, and the mayor of Rio, Eduardo Paes, he is a part of the Brazilian Democratic Movement Party. And so you would think, similar to what we describe as our political parties. They're there for the people, one for all for one, but yet he comes from a ruling class. And so you have some political, again, the political and economic mixture here of concern. So the games were won in 2009, and they were supposed to be the showcase for Rio. Well, there's definitely a light that's going to be shown on the country, on the city, but is it the right light? Is it really going to showcase some things that people really didn't want to know about or want to be made more aware of?
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, sports commentator from the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, and I want to get to the good stuff about Rio as well, because we've got a lot of exciting competition to deal with. We got a lot of anticipation about how the Americans are going to do, a lot of great stories to follow, as there are in all of the Olympics. But before we get to that, one more question about sort of the negative side of the Olympics. What does this experience tell us about the way that the Olympics should be handled going forward? This has been a problem in Sochi. It's a problem, obviously, in Rio. What reforms this? What fixes this?
Well, right now, the World Olympic Games, those on these various committees, you've got the international, the IOC, then you have every participating country has their governing body as well. There is a big shakeup from, of course, the illegalities that happened under the previous IOC president. So these games will be under the new president for the first time. But also, people are questioning how we actually allocate the games to the various countries and cities. Should there be something done around that? As of today, they're still in committees. They're still trying to vote and figure out what we do. But officially, for the 2020 games, we know they're going to be in Tokyo, the next summer games. Mm-hmm. So that's been decided, and I don't think they're going to retract on that. But it's a lot of committee work. I still doubt that we're going to have much change in terms of, if you have the most money, if you have the most political connections, then you increase your odds greatly to get the games. I think it's just very, very hard to regulate this type of operation. You know, there are many who say that we should just rotate the games around, you know, four or five cities around the world. But I see right now there's a lot of power and there's a lot of things that can be won by having the Olympic Games, the summer games, in your country and in a particular city. And I really see it's going to be hard to move that.
Again, speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Kenan Flagler Business School and sports commentator. So let's turn to the actual athletic side of the Olympic Games, and it's kind of a indication of the state of things that we're talking about the non-athletic side first. But there's also a lot of excitement, a lot of great stories to follow. So what are you most excited about?
Well, these games cost $12 billion. We're going to have over 306 events, over 28 sports. Some of the compelling storylines are definitely going to be the situation with Russia. Mm-hmm. So they were found guilty by the public of being involved in the drug, I'll just say drug performance, right? We've got some athletes who were found, in fact, they admitted themselves that they were doping. And so will Russia be allowed to participate? Will they have their own games? And then, of course, every summer games, it's always United States versus Russia. And, of course, we can add in China now.
Right.
So that is one storyline. Another fascinating storyline, the Olympics, really. I really, really like the Olympics because it really talks about track and field, which some would say is the oldest sport in the world. But watching the story around Usain Bolt, the world's fastest man, who did not compete in his preliminaries in his country of Jamaica, but he was allowed to join the team, number one, because of the branding, by having Usain Bolt there. But they figured that as long as he could get healthy before his events, then that would be a great win for Jamaica. So following United States versus Russia, Usain Bolt, the fastest man, and, of course, American basketball. Mm. Now, we tend to win these games by 40, 50, 60 points. But then when it gets down to the medal rounds, it gets a bit more competitive. But certainly not having LeBron, not having Steph Curry, let's see if these guys can actually put together the gold medal and make everybody happy here in America.
And who, after this is all said and done in a couple of weeks at the end of August, who emerges as the sort of new bright shining star of American athletics?
Well, right now we're talking about gymnastics and Simone Biles, I believe her name is. She's just been targeted as the next great gymnast and possibly another national hero for us like Mary Lou Retton. But she's just been breaking all types of records with gymnastics, and so all eyes are on her. We'll be able to see if indeed we'll have a new young basketball star. It tends to be gymnastics. It tends to be basketball where we get a lot of attention there. I'm not seeing much of a change with our track and field. Golf, we know that most of the world's top golfers are Americans as well, are not even competing, even though rugby sevens and golf are the new sports that were added to this year's summer games. I don't really expect anything there. I'm happy for the Tar Heels. I believe we have about 16 Tar Heels athletes, whether it's current or former players, will be in the games. But I would say gymnastics and men's basketball will be looking for some great stories there.
We'll keep a watch on it. Dr. Deb Stroman, we got to let you go, but thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Everybody tune in. The opening ceremonies are this Friday.